opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And here we are back again for the 114th episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, the show that introduces you to the most interesting people in the Ville. Each and every week on this podcast, my name is Rick Redding. I am very happy to be here with you. Very exciting week. A lot of things going on for me personally and in the life of the city of Louisville. Encourage you to keep up with what's going on here by going to LouisvilleKY.com. That's a website I operate and have constant updates and interesting news going up there. It's putting a little more energy and effort into it. I think you're going to find that some of the changes are very good for readers, very good for people who follow the site. So it's all great. Well, this week I have quite a show for you. In the second half of the show, I've got Tom Jurich. And Tom Jurich, as everybody around here knows, is the University of Louisville Athletics Director. So happened when I was a Business First reporter, back in 1998, I did a profile of Tom. It was one of the first lengthy profiles done on who was then 10 months into his job as an athletic director. I remember him being kind of intense and he had a lot of people criticizing him. The program, all that he's done for U of L athletics, it hadn't happened yet, and it was the times weren't all that happy. He was dealing with Ron Cooper, the football coach, who was a dismal failure here, and he had just hired John L. Smith as the new football coach, and he was right in the middle of some of the strange stuff, the stuff that went on with Denny Crum before he signed his last contract. So now Tom is, I'll tell you, he is much more relaxed, much more friendly, and he was in a great mood when I went over to his office at the university to talk to him. So that's coming up in the second part of the show. But the first part of the show, you're really going to be interested. I have a high school senior. Her name is Nan Elpers, and she organized and started in Louisville the Free the Nipple movement. There was a walk in the Highlands on Saturday, and drew a lot of media attention, a lot of activity, and I was just curious about the person behind, how did this get organized, how did this happen, and was surprised to find out it was a high school student, Nan Elpers, who started the whole thing, and she is, she's a very intelligent young lady. I really enjoy talking to her. And we're going to have her up in just a minute. But those of you who follow the show know that the Rusty Satellite Show has a great sponsor in Snelling Staffing. And each week we have the job of the week. As for those in the if you're looking for a job or if you're looking to hire somebody, Snelling Staffing's the place to go. This week, here's what we got. Snelling Staffing is recruiting a maintenance technician for a growing East End company. The candidate will be responsible for maintaining all machines throughout the warehouse and office area, troubleshooting production machines, must keep the office, shop, and warehouse clean, as well as outside areas. They're looking for someone with electrical experience and manufacturing maintenance experience. It's a direct hire position with great pay, hours, and benefits. You can call Paula at 814-9800 to schedule an immediate interview. Paula can... she's my girlfriend, and she's cool, and she can get you a job, or she can help you as an employer find the right people for your work. So that's what's going on at Snelling Staffing, and appreciate having them on the show as a sponsor. So a lot going on this week. Hope you'll stay tuned for the second part of the show to hear about some of the things going on in my life and the life of the city of Louisville. And for the Tom Jurich interview. But first, I'm going to introduce you to Nan Elpers. I went down to St. Francis High School with my photographer, Bill Breimer, and we took we had a great time talking to this young lady. She really has her head on straight, knows what she's doing, and this walk that they had last weekend in the Highlands may be the start of something big. There's more to come on that movement. So I thought you'd want to hear from the organizer why all these women were walking down the streets in the Highlands with their tops off. So right after this message, you'll hear from Nan Elpers.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was gonna do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
All right, Nan Elpers, welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show. It's very rare to have a high school student on the show, but welcome.
I'm sure it is, Rick. Thank you for having me.
You're great. And we're here at St. Francis High School, where you're a senior. Mm-hmm. And tell me a little about yourself. I know you live in the Highlands.
I live in the Highlands, born and raised. Yeah, my dad actually grew up in the house that we live in now. So, you know, we go way back. And so I found St. Francis about halfway through my high school career, and it's been wonderful ever since. So this campaign, or my idea of it, started when I saw the promo video for the official campaign movie documentary that's out on Netflix now. And that started circulating on Facebook back in about December, January. And the idea that really hit me in a way that I hadn't thought about before is that we hypersexualize women's bodies by covering them. There's nothing inherently sexual or secret about them to make us do that and to try to make them a secret. And so my friends and I sort of joked around with the idea after we started posting things here and there on Facebook, and it wasn't until I started taking a women and gender studies class here at St. Francis in the fall that I thought, you know, this is something that we could really be a part of and make happen.
And look, we'll skip ahead for just a second, and you can tell me the story. But I know this this walk that occurred last Saturday.
Right.
How many people got involved in that?
So I was in the front, leading the procession with a couple of friends, men and women, which was wonderful to have that support, people of all genders. One of the articles that came out said about 400 people were there, which sounds about accurate. I couldn't see the end of the procession, so I'll take their word for it.
Yeah, and so you were at the front, and I guess there were a mixture. We know that there are a lot of people watching, right?
There were a lot of people watching. And that was, of course, something that we were, you know, worried about, but expecting. You know, I try not to focus on the more negative and poor intentioned comments online. Mm-hmm. But there were, you know, there was one guy out in his camouflage shirt sitting in a lawn chair watching. It was like, hey, why don't you guys do this every Saturday? Which, you know, some people just really have no idea, or do have an idea, and, you know, just
some
want to be gross anyway.
Yeah.
But I think the good definitely outweighed the bad.
Okay. Now, you've never been, obviously, in the media spotlight before.
Absolutely not.
So, what was that like for you? I know you did TV interviews. You did a lot of interviews.
Yeah. So my biggest concern was that, oh my gosh, I'm going to say, you know, my same little spiel to all of the people that I interview with, and hopefully they'll edit it in a way that everyone says something a little bit different. So it looks like I know what I'm talking about. But I started this event on accident. I invited 38 of my closest friends, you know, to say, let's do a little campaign. Let's make this small. If we want to do it bigger in the future, we will. But I forgot to hit the invite only button on Facebook. So the next day, 400 people were invited, which is about what we ended up getting. And then...
You say the 400 people, was that was sort of an accident, you're saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it became a public event on Facebook. And from there, it just sort of blossomed into this bigger, you know, full out Louisville walk that we had.
And how far in advance of the event?
This was about 2 weeks
before
Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So things travel.
Yeah, they do. The internet does make things go in a viral way. Yeah. It
absolutely does. And I've been really grateful for the media. We ended up having a promotional Courier Journal article come out the week before. And then I was interviewed the day of by WDRB, WHAS, WLKY, and then Courier Journal, and Leo did another follow-up articles as well. And now here we are.
Yeah, well, it made quite a splash.
Absolutely.
Of the women who, like, walked through the thing, I mean, not all of them were topless. Let's make that clear.
Yes, and one thing that we did have to make absolutely certain was that minors would not be topless at the event, because although it's legal for all women and females to be topless in the state, or the Commonwealth of Kentucky, rather, because of the ostentatious and showy nature of a walk that's meant to grab attention, that had to do with violating child exploitation sexual laws. So that was one thing we had to make sure of. But there were a lot of supportive people there, topless or not, either way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds great. Well, so, you know, this is a big event. It happened. Where do you go from here?
Right. So I really have thrown myself into this, since it's not something that I meant to do, and I don't claim to have more information or more knowledge than I do. But women's rights is something that I'm hugely wanting to be a part of, and so I've gotten in touch. I actually have a meeting next Sunday with a few people who have really shown an interest in this campaign and starting it in Louisville, and we're going to get together and have that very conversation. Where do we go from here? More events? What exactly is the message that we want to send? How can we use Louisville for what it is to really capitalize on it?
Okay, because this is not unique to Louisville.
No. So this is a national campaign, and it was started in New York to change public policies by a woman named Lena Esko. And since then, there have been lots of coalitions to spring up all over the U.S. So if you go on a site called Topless, gotopless.org, you can see all the states where it's legal. There are only three where it's not, and then places where it's ambiguous. And then it has a list of cities where called, like, topless tested to show all the places that this has been done. And, you know, this is a safe place for you to do this.
Three states.
What are those? Utah, which is sort of an outlier, I guess, because no one lives there. Tennessee and Indiana. So that's interesting, because we're sort of in the middle of those two.
Yeah, really. Yeah. We're right there. So,
right.
What you said in that last thing sparked my question. Like, what's the, you know, I'm sure you're developing it, but what is the message? What do you want people to understand and change?
Exactly. So the goal is to de-hypersexualize women's bodies, and how this campaign seeks to do that, from my personal understanding, what I've heard, and just what the national campaign is about, is by desensitizing people to the female body, and we're specifically talking about the breasts. So hypersexualization of women's bodies gives people the excuse to slut shame, to victim blame, and then to shun women who are breastfeeding in public, which is using breasts for their biological purpose. So those are sort of the offshoots that we're trying to combat and stop.
Okay. Well, very interesting. It's a very good cause. Let me ask you something about you. As a high school student, how has this, affected your life beyond, I know you're a high school senior, you think about your future. Has it caused you to rethink?
Sure, and I consider myself sort of free floater. There are a lot of things that are important to me, but I just kind of dabble. And so this has really made me kind of focus in on the things that are important to me. I've gotten a lot of feedback from all kinds of people over the past week or two about this, and I think it's something that I really might want to continue. You know, I told you that this gender class that I'm taking right now really sparked that interest in me, and I think this is something that I could, as of now, kind of roll with.
Yeah. Well, I here at St. Francis, I know... I'm guessing it's kind of a liberal school.
Absolutely. The school has been so supportive of it.
Your teachers are all behind it. I guess it comes up in class, right?
Sure. And, of course, this, because of the whole the minors piece, cannot be associated with the school. But, all of my teachers have come up to me and said, we're really proud of you for doing this. One teacher, he was at some of the original walks in New York to try to change public policy. So this has been a great place to foster and culture, these ideas that we're rolling with now.
Okay. So a senior here college in your future?
We're still even finalizing the lists, but I'd known that I wanted to do small liberal arts somewhere, and just my mom even said, why don't you take classes that sound cool to you freshman year, and then take it to your counselor and say, like, okay, what can I what career can I make out of this? But I just sent my college counselor here an email, and I was like, let's take the list we have and kind of change it a little bit and see what we can get as far as up and coming women and gender studies classes. So I think this is something that I really want to pursue now.
Okay. Well, you know, I would say not as your advisor, but there's plenty of careers if you, if you're good at speaking out
and yeah.
supporting a cause. So good for you. You have also, I was going to ask you beyond your mm-hmm. your college, but other reactions that maybe you got from the public. I mean, what was it like walking down that street and getting all those? I wasn't there. I assume there were a lot of different calls, you know, different things people were yelling at you.
Of course. And so a lot of the feedback has happened. You know, the walk was, you know, 45 minutes. And I think I was just on a high while I was there. You know, one of my friends who was walking next to me just said, I'm in love with the city of Louisville. I'm in love with people. I'm in love with the world. And that was sort of the feeling. You know, we had a couple women come out of stores or cars and flash us and, you know, say really positive things. And, of course, there were people with cameras and just sort of gawking. But that's sort of one of the risks that you take and one of the expectations you have when you're trying to desensitize people to something. You have to put yourself out there. And so I guess on a more positive note, one of the really gratifying pieces of this for me has been women and girls and even some men as well who have come up to me in the hallways or on the street or even over Facebook, people that I don't know, telling me their very personal reasons for supporting this campaign, whether it's, you know, I have a friend who was sexually abused as a kid and then asked, you know, mm-hmm. what she was wearing. And so that goes with a victim blaming and then a whole coalition of breastfeeding mothers who, you know, who want to be a part of this now. And so that's really made it a lot more real for me.
Are there any other causes beyond that? I mean, you have this social media group now,
right.
a group of activist people. Mm-hmm. Anything else you're interested in talking about?
Well, let's see.
You're in the middle of this big one, I know.
Right. And it's all, you know, I really had to grow up in the past week mm-hmm. because I've been dealing with a lot of, like, big names, media, and otherwise. And I did get one of the really encouraging pieces of information I got was a Facebook message from a woman who did the same thing, also by accident, in New Hampton last month. And she got in touch with me and she said, hey, this is what to expect. This is where you can go from here. And so she's been sort of my mentor as far as this goes. But she said, you know, one of the reasons, or maybe she didn't say this, someone did, one of the reasons that we're trying to desensitize people and give women this right back is that there's not a lot of sense of the woman as an independent self. If you put yourself out there wearing whatever clothing, you're going to get information back about or thoughts back about what you're trying to send as a message to other people as opposed to what you just want to express and be a part of as yourself. And so a huge part of this event is just for women to feel empowered to claim their own body and their own decisions as far as how they show themselves to the world.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Nan, can't tell you how impressed I am with you and your cause, and I really appreciate you taking the time.
Rick, thank you so much.
Okay, and a big thank you to Nan Elpers and the people the folks down there at St. Francis High School. I went down there with Bill Brimer. You can see his photos and a video of my interview with Nan on YouTube. We're trying to figure out how to get it online and up, but I'm sure it's going to be available by Friday anyway. So, anyway, for longtime listeners of the show, you know that this part of the show, I talk about pretty much things that I'm interested in that are going on in town, in my life, and there's a lot to talk about this week. I tell you, I did want to tell you a little bit about last weekend. As you may know, I went down to see the WKU Hilltoppers in Nashville, saw them beat Vanderbilt. It was not a great game, but it was a victory for the Hilltoppers, and Jeff Brom, who was a guest on this show a few weeks ago before the season started. I also got a chance. It was great. I saw Gary Ransdell, the president of the university, shook hands with him. He says he gets my emails every week. If you want to get my emails every week, just send me a little note at rick@louisvilleky.com, and I'll put you on the list. We send out a email every week to remind you who's on the Rusty Satellite Show and what the top stories are on louisvilleky.com. So Nashville was great, and we stayed an extra night, and Paula and I went out on the town in Nashville, and it's really something. The Main Street and Broadway just packed with people having a lot of fun. It was a party atmosphere unlike any I've seen in a while, and it wasn't like that last time I was in Nashville, I guess. So it was a lot of fun. We saw some live music, and almost went to the Ryman Auditorium. Dwight Yoakam, of all people, was playing, but
you know, we passed on the expensive tickets there and went and saw some live stuff on the street. There's plenty of restaurants along there and plenty of places where there's live music. So it was a lot of fun. On the way down, just like to mention, we stopped in Franklin, Kentucky, and played a round of golf at Kenny Perry's Country Creek. Kenny Perry, as you may know, is a PGA golfer, certainly a champion. It so happens that I went to Western the same time as Kenny and graduated the same year. Our birthdays are 2 weeks apart. Yet somehow I didn't see, I don't know, somehow I did not see him during my days at Western. He was on the golf team and all that. So anyway, it was a great, great trip. And another thing came up on WKU, about WKU. I don't know if you know, there's so much stuff on Facebook, and you know, I've sort of come to like blocking a lot of people that are putting stuff up that's not interesting to me. But Dr. Ransdell had a post about there's some study that came out that said WKU is the number one college in America to fall in love. Isn't that something? And a lot of my fraternity brothers actually, well, some of them are still married to the women they met, their wives, who they met at Western while we were at school. And anyway, that's a great story. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news. And I guess in trying to come up with a theme for what all is happening, I just see a lot of the news. It's about discrimination, prejudice, and hate. And you know, I hate that. I hate that the national news networks are spending their time in Kentucky covering this really strange case of the county clerk in Moorhead in Round County, Kim Davis. Now she let herself, you know, she defied the order of the Supreme Court. She found herself, judge put her in jail, then judge let her out of jail just earlier this week. She's still defying. And like Mike Huckabee came in, and all the Republican candidates for president, they're all rallying around the idea of discriminating against a class of people. I mean, if you really think about it, that's what it's all about. And like politically, these guys like Huckabee are coming in to sort of associate themselves with those who would discriminate. That's really, you know, when it comes down to it, that's what's happening. And the popularity of those guys, it's hard to understand in America. It really is. It's disturbing because this one county clerk is standing up for discrimination against gays, and people are rallying around that. Now, most people I know don't, you know, I don't know. I guess it's impolite to talk about this publicly because people who support Davis, I don't know. I guess they're not my friends, or they don't talk about this in public. It's always risky to talk about subjects like this at cocktail parties or whatever. But this Kim Davis, I mean, she's such. Did you see the picture of her husband? And her husband showed up for all these media opportunities in overalls, looking the very part of the hick that I guess they are over there, and. I hate to see all of the attention brought to Kentucky for this topic. So that's what's going on there. But you also see beyond Kim Davis, you know, the prejudice in our society and the racism is so evident. I went to a play at Actors Theater, Seven Guitars. I urge you to go see it if you can in the next. It's playing till September 20th, and the play is about a African-American family in the 1940s and all the hurdles they have to, all the things they have to overcome because of race. And, you know, a lot of people would say, well, it's not like that anymore. They, you know, America's evened it out. There's not as much racism. But there really is. There really is. There's a lot of places in the world a lot of places around here, a place I used to work, has no blacks and 250 employees. And that is a, you know, it's a shame, you know. And the other thing I did this week, I went to this, the Louisville Forum, and they had a couple of speakers talking about the Common Core standards, you know, some Common Core is the national program in which 46 states have adopted, which sort of sets a bar for what kids should be learning in school and evens it out. So as they were explaining, if your child is in Kentucky and going to school and gets in your family moves and you're suddenly find yourself in Georgia, well, if you jump in at the same time, the same time of year, they're going to be teaching the same thing. And that, you know, that there's a lot of positives there. Of course, the opposition there, a guy from the Bluegrass Institute, you know, it's political. You know, he has his reasons for being against the whole Common Core program. So it becomes a political battle. But one of the things that impressed me, one of the speakers was talking about, was from the Pritchard Committee for Academic Excellence, and pointing out that even though the scores, some of the scores are going up because of Common Core, the gap between the achievement of black kids and white kids is growing. It's like 26% difference. I can't remember the exact number, but it's kind of disturbing that the gap between achievement of black kids and white kids is still so great. So there's a lot of difference. There's a lot of reasons for that. We won't get into all that, but the fact is it's true, and that's what makes it sometimes difficult for public schools. They get a bad rap because they have to take everybody, and they don't just take the best and the brightest in public schools. So, and that's how it ends up. It's a big issue. I believe I'll probably have something on Common Core on Louisville KY in the next few days. It was fun going to that event, though. I sat next to Debbie Westland, who, if you remember, used to be on the Jefferson County Public Schools School Board and was a guest on the Rusty Satellite Show. Also there was State Representative Morgan McGarvey. And also sat pretty close to David Jones, Jr., who is currently on the JCPS board. So it's a very interesting event. Glad I got to go do that. As I mentioned, sometimes I can fill up a whole show just talking about former Rusty Satellite Show guests or people that stories that are ongoing that I've talked about before. Will Russell is continuing to be in the news. The Funtown Mountain guy, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I think Funtown Mountain is now closed, but Will has had some bizarre behavior, I think. And he's run afoul of the law down in Cave City. And so there was another flurry of stories in the media this week about Funtown Mountain and how it appears to be closed at this point. Now, I'll tell you, driving up and down 65, I knew something's wrong. There's no signage. There is zero signage for the place. And I'm just not sure it's going to make it. I feel bad for Will. He was already liking me. He was on the show, and he's great. But anyway, that's a big guest in the news. Also, stopped and had a cup of coffee with Chris Thieneman today, and Chris is. I'm going to try to put this video up. He's got this fantasy Thailand reality show that he's producing, and I saw a clip of it, and it's really interesting, really well done. Chris has also updated me on his court case, and apparently a judge has been, Judge Erica Williams, I think, was recused on account of an odd reason, and it's going to take some explaining, but she felt that I guess the superior judge felt that Judge Williams would not be impartial because she is a Facebook friend of Chris's, and also saw the video that Chris taped about his case on LouisvilleKY.com. And so that has become a part of this case. And you know, the question is, how are they going to find a judge who's not either a friend of Chris's, who's not on Facebook, and, you know, basically doesn't know about things going on in social media and is not aware of Chris's feelings, you know, his position on this case. It's an assault case. It dates back to over a year, wacky girlfriend thing. And Chris believes he was unjustly charged with a crime. And he wants to be vindicated, and as he should. So that's going on. Hey, another one of my favorite characters in this town, Metro Councilman Dan Johnson. You hear the story. Now, I knew, you know, Dan Johnson, he represents the South End. He's I don't know, I'm trying to think of a way of a polite way to put it, but you know, let's just say that he ran into some financial problems, and then he ran into some problems with somebody his legislative assistant that he'd hired. He had his name in the news for all the wrong reasons. Well, WFPL reports that now that Johnson has said he won't run for re-election in 2018. Well, I think that came out a while back, but when he was having all his problems, he owed Gus Goldstein some $15,000 or $20,000 and was basically not making payments on a debt. And it sort of commingled. He was using there was a phone issue with Johnson's Metro Council phone that he had to pay a bill on, and he hadn't paid that. But anyway, WFBL asked him, and he said, this is not the punchline. Well, I'm not going to run for councilman again. But he also said, and this is typical Johnson, they asked him about running for mayor. And he said, this is a quote, "It is something I will definitely consider. I understand that there may be other things happening with our mayor, that he may run against Rand Paul next year." So Johnson thinks that Mayor Fisher's not going to run for re-election, and that Johnson would be step in and be the choice of the Democrats for mayor. The guy is not living in a reality-filled world if he believes that he could be the Democratic candidate for mayor in this town. So that's just my opinion, but you know, I feel pretty strongly that is not going to happen. So anyway, that's about wraps up the news I have for the week. Let's get on to the University of Louisville, and my next guest, Tom Jurich, is the athletic director there. I was telling you about the story I wrote for Business First back in 1998, and it was really enlightening, some of the things that he said back then. In fact, Tom asked me, we were talking about the story, he said, "Oh, please send me a copy. I want to see that." He didn't actually remember our meeting from 18 years ago. I couldn't believe it, but he was genuinely in a great mood when I met with him, and is generally happy to be where he is doing what he's doing. We talked about the stadium expansion that was announced last week. Talked about all of Jurich's efforts to in gender equity and in building the campus, and talked about how bad the Cardinal Park area looked when he got here. And it's amazing that he has made all those changes happen. And he seems to be in a very good place. Very excited about the football season. We talked a little football about Lamar Jackson, the new quarterback. You know, UofL lost last week to Auburn down in Atlanta, but we saw the future of the team. And Lamar Jackson is the man, and the new quarterback for UofL and Jurich, he's like a fan. He's very excited about it. We talked about Bobby Petrino and a few other things. So I'm going to get on with it. Let's hear from Tom Jurich on the Rusty Satellite Show.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show is up at the University of Louisville Athletic Department. I'm with Tom Jurich, the athletic director, local legend, a guy that's making things happen around here. Tom, welcome to the show. Thanks for making time for me.
Well, thank you for having me on there, Rick. It's great to see you again.
Now, I know you don't remember, but I was a Business First reporter way back in the day, and I think the very first interview of all time with you in Louisville was with Business First, and we did a great story on it. And a lot's happened since then.
There's been a lot of changes, no question about it. Sorry, I forgot about the article, but I was running with my like a chicken with my head cut off when I got here, yeah. And so I didn't know if I was coming or going, trying to hit ground. And
well, you were great. I'll tell you what I remember about I looked it up. I couldn't find the story, but what I remembered is, you know, at that time my perception was a lot of intensity and sort of a take on all challenges, like you were expecting maybe some really tough questions, and I think that's sort of been one of the marks of your tenure here. You take criticism well, and you let people know what you're doing, right?
Well, I try to. I try to be open and honest with everybody. You know, I've always tried to live by class and integrity. And a lot of times when you tell the truth, people think you're blunt, you know, and they don't react to it the right way. But, you know, I've always felt that honesty is the best principle for me. And I knew when I took this job it was going to be a lot of obstacles, a lot of speed bumps, a lot of landmines, and I had to navigate my way through all that. Since I was an outsider, I came from the far west and really had no idea what the city of Louisville was like, the community itself, the Commonwealth. And so all saying that, you know, we had a huge hill to climb. And so I was trying to get my feet on the ground and get the best foundation I possibly could for my family and myself.
Yeah. Well, certainly you've gotten a lot done in 18 years. Let's talk about the most recent thing. University of Louisville was in the news last week with the news about the stadium expansion. And, you know, it just fans' perspective, that's me, it looks like, wow, that, you know, where's the demand for that? How are they getting more money out of people? But it's a great accomplishment for the university and you to do this, right?
Well, first of all, we can't ever look at it like that, like it's too big of a challenge for us. We have to look at it as what is the best opportunity to help our program grow. And that's all I can care about is it the right move for the University of Louisville at the right time? And I think it is. You know, we did a lot of homework on this. We spent probably 2.5 years doing our own due diligence on it. And we, like we said, we just didn't want to put in a bowl in the end zone with a bunch of bleacher seats in it. Right. You know, we wanted to make sure it was a spectacular building that took care of all the needs of the student athletes, the coaching staff, Bobby and his group, and then all of our support staff down there. So it's going to enlarge the Schnellenberger complex by 25 to 30,000 square feet. We're going to add about 10,000 seats in a very attractive looking setting, and then be able to keep our chair backs as we like. It's going to have a club setting that's going to be comparable to an NFL club. It's pretty much like the Brown and Williams Center, the PNC club that we presently have. So there's a lot of amenities to go with it.
And I heard that there are going to be a certain number of seats that are the creme de la creme on the field level, mm-hmm. right?
A lot of those ideas came from the Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Okay. I mean, that's my question.
We stole those ideas.
There's no original ideas. But, okay, well, the stadium expansion's great, and that's going to open, next football season?
No. We are just in the fundraising process right now. It is all going to be dictated by how the fundraising goes.
Okay.
So I imagine it's probably going to be 3 to 4 years before we open it up.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, let's talk about present day because, like everybody in Louisville, we spent Saturday afternoon watching Card football team take on Auburn. I mean, your thoughts on the game?
Well, I thought we shot ourselves in the foot a couple of times. It was uncharacteristic of us, but, you know, those things happen. You're playing with young kids, and that was a huge stage, fabulous crowd. Our fan base was phenomenal, and so was Auburn's. It was an incredible venue to play in. You know, but if we take some of those mistakes away, it would have been a much different ball game, and you give Auburn all the credit because they were able to make us turn the ball over.
Yeah. But we found a quarterback.
A great quarterback. He's a great quarterback, and I was totally surprised. I knew he was very good. I didn't know anybody could come in his first game and play like that.
Yeah, I think from fans' perspective, it was a big surprise. You knew who the other guys were, and then this guy comes in and he's so quick and elusive, and he's got such a strong
arm. Had such an incredible reputation from down in Boynton Beach, Florida, where he mm-hmm. came from. And, you know, we had to beat out. You know, everybody had to go the wire just to beat out University of Florida to keep him coming with us. But boy, he's all that has been advertised and more.
Right. And I know. Let me ask you one question about Bobby Petrino because certainly you took a lot of criticism from some circles when he came in. I certainly think watching a Petrino coach football team is. You know, it's another level of excitement. You know, even the trick play that doesn't work, it mm-hmm. still seems like something he tried.
Well, I like the trick play for just that reason, which you said. He tried. He tried. He just didn't want to run it into the line and go, you know, 2nd and 8. He wanted to try and catch him off guard and all that. And to their credit, they were ready for it. Mm-hmm. We didn't execute the way we probably should have, but they were ready for it also.
Right, and certainly recovered from that. So let's move on from football a little bit and talk about, some of the other sports. I know that, the whole landscape here along Floyd Street has changed primarily because of you and the initiatives you put in. Soccer stadium, swimming place, you know, all the different new facilities that have come in the last 18 years, that's got to be – you know, I would guess that maybe one of the things you're most proud of.
Well, I am proud of that, but first of all, Rick, we did it because we had to do it. You know, that mm-hmm. we didn't do it because we just said we want to do it. We had to do it. We had to get the school up to snuff for Title IX and gender equity. That was my number one priority. When I took the job, and I remember looking at this property, which is across the street from me right here, which is Cardinal Park, you know, that it was a real, real ugly piece of property. It was a broken down parking lot that had condemned buildings on it, which really and I looked at it more from my real estate days as it's a front lawn of a beautiful university, and your front lawn is just like a bunch of broken down old cars on it. So, you know, aesthetically, we need to really change the image of this place because, you know, at the time, we had 85,000 cars a day going down, up and down the Interstate 65 looking at this project. What a great marketing tool that we were missing on. So I first wanted to do it for that. Second, I wanted to make sure we fit the needs of our student athletes, primarily our women athletes, and that's why it was all built.
Yeah. Well, certainly it's impressive. A lot of people, again, I'm not on this page, but, you know, you watch the media. I'm sure you pay attention to what is said. How do you respond to people who say that, you know, there's too much emphasis on athletics, there's too much money in athletics, it's a university first and foremost? You know, certainly it's a big budget around here, and you know, you've got to answer those critics all the time, I guess.
Well, we do answer the critics, but again, we're just going to be honest with them. You know, we're not going to go away from anybody. We're not hiding from anybody. We started in Conference USA, moved into the Big East, went back to the American Athletic Association, and then get at the break of a lifetime to get into the ACC. So we're not going to be able to do that by just being a little Conference USA school. So I think if people look out and have a great vision, they're going to see what the ACC is going to do for this community, the Commonwealth, the university itself. Athletics would have been fine because we'd have been in a home. We would have had a strong athletic home. Nothing would have been as great a fit as the ACC.
Right.
But I think the ACC is going to do so much for us that I don't think you'll ever even you'll never be able to put a dollar amount on it.
So do you see, obviously, I think from your answer there, that being in the ACC does a lot for the university beyond athletics?
I think it does probably primarily to 100% more than it does for athletics.
Okay.
You know, and now it's up to the university to take advantage of that.
Right.
They like to say they're in the new neighborhood. Let's make sure we're building a house for that new neighborhood.
Okay. All right. Well, let me ask you a little bit about yourself and your life in Louisville. I know you moved here from out west. It had to be quite an adjustment at that time for your family. You're moving a long way, but, you know, 18 years later, everybody's still here and everybody's happy, I assume. Were there any tough times in terms of that adjustment?
Always has been tough times in this job. This is a tough place to be the athletic director. There's no question about it. Now, do I treasure it? I do because I'm solid in it now, and I know where all the bodies are buried. But it's a very tough place for an outsider to come, and so that created a lot of challenges for me and my family. And there's a lot of times, you know, we looked up, maybe it's just time to go somewhere else, you know, and enjoy it, because there was a lot of roadblocks in the way, and a lot of roadblocks I thought that were pretty stupid by people and pretty minuscule that they would try to possess that and present that to us, because all I was trying to do is impede our progress. And so once I got through all that, you know, in our family, we've just stayed together. You know, we're a very faith-based family, and we all just said, let's make this work, and we have, and we've been very happy with it.
And you've been fortunate enough that I know your son is part of the staff here now.
Yeah.
So that's
does a great job for us.
Yeah, it's a really good thing as well to have all those people around. So anyway, I did want to ask you real quickly. I'm sure you're aware on your calendar, September 22nd, you're going to speak to our Breakfast of Champions group. Mm-hmm. You know about that. I don't know if you give me a little preview of the what you're going to address there to that group.
Well, I'm probably just going to want to talk about, you know, the current state of where we are, where we've come from, what the ACC's meant to us, and what I see in our future. And, you know, we've got a lot of plans upcoming and what we want to get done here. You know, it's not just building buildings. We want to continue to upgrade our programs. We've had a plan in place for the last probably 2.5 years of how we are going to do that for the conference, because it's such the ultimate challenge. It's the ultimate conference in the country from top to bottom in every sport. And that's just something that we want to make sure that we're strong at and compete in, because I didn't want to go into this conference and just be a participant.
Right.
I wanted to come in there and compete for championships, or always be in the conversation for championships.
Okay. It's about time to wrap it up, but let's close on a positive note. Looking ahead to the football season, what would be realistic, and what would you think would be over the top success?
Oh, you know, I really hate to ever put a number on it, what it could be, because you don't know from week to week what injuries and how they're going to take their toll. You know, from what I saw last Saturday down against Auburn, I'm very excited about the future. I think that we have a bunch of young kids that are going to play extremely hard and well. I think Bobby's recruited extremely well. There's no question. I mean, the proof was in the pudding on Saturday, and I think those kids really excelled. I think we played 7 true freshmen most of the game, and they all contributed. So that's going to be exciting. You know, I just think we got to stay healthy. We're a young, young, young team. I mean, and we just got to stay healthy. And we lost 10 draft choices in the NFL, and it's hard to replace that. but I think we're going to do a good job with it.
All right. Well, home opener on Saturday. Any surprises? Anything you can tell us is going to be any different this year?
Well, I think there'll be a new quarterback named Lamar Jackson, and I think we'll all get behind him, and I think we have a special talent there to get behind and really enjoy.
Okay, well, we're certainly looking forward to that. Tom George, thanks for being on
the show.
Thank
you, Rick. Appreciate it very much.
All right, and I want to give a big thank you to Kenny Klein, who helped me arrange an interview with the interview with Tom Jurich, and to Tom himself for talking with me, getting me all fired up about football and what's going on over at the University of Louisville. It's looking like a great year. I think the game is Saturday at Houston against Houston at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. I saw Kenny had sent out a release about that just today, and you know the stadium's a little different. There's a lot of construction at the south end of the stadium. They're putting that Thornton's Academic Center in down there, and the email that Kenny sent out about the football stadium. I'm interested in this. Papa John's Cardinal Stadium staff will have the ability to receive text messages from fans who want to report unruly fan behavior or any other issue without leaving their seat. Wouldn't that be something? So the guy next to you is drunk and disorderly and make light. We had somebody up in our section. We sit up in the new upper deck, the UPS flight deck, and there's a guy that I would have used this for last year. And they're also going to have a better call signal, so you can text those photos and all that. Verizon has put something up there above the something that will improve cell signals during the game. So there's a lot of stuff going on. It's really exciting to have our first home game at U of L. So enough rambling on about that. Thanks again to Tom for being on the show. And thanks to Nana Elpers, the courageous young lady who's leading a movement, the Free the Nipple movement in Louisville. There's a lot more to come from her. I think you'll hear more about her in the very near future. Very nice, very smart young lady. So that's what's going on over there. Thank her. Thanks to Nan for being on the show. All the people that helped me in my media operation, including Jason Smith, who you heard from last week on this show, my photographer Bill Breimer, and Jackie Bentley posts a lot of stuff on LouisvilleKY.com. She, including a recent post about her gardening. She does a series of posts called Girl Gone Gardening. And it's always very interesting. Really good content over there at LouisvilleKY.com. I'm going to be doing a lot more with that site in the next week or so. So keep your eyes out for that. Thanks again to my sponsors, Snelling Staffing, who, remember, they're recruiting for a maintenance technician for a growing East End company. That's the job of the week from Snelling Staffing. My friends at Passport Health Plan also sponsor the show. I will mention that on Insider Louisville tomorrow, there will be a story about giving blood in the sponsored content section for Passport Health Plan. I give blood on a fairly regular basis, and there's a big blood drive coming up on the, I don't know, I think it's the 16th, and relating to whether you bleed red or bleed blue, brought to you by the American Red Cross. So that's a big event. And lastly, I want to mention that on September 22nd, if you want to hear more from Tom Jurich, he will be our featured speaker at the Breakfast of Champions. It's 7:30 a.m. on a Tuesday this time, and it's for just $20. You get a great breakfast and get the network. I think we're going to have a really big crowd at this one. So please, you can go to Facebook and search for Breakfast of Champions Louisville, request to join the group, and I administer that site. So would be glad to have you. We have a breakfast every other month, and Tom Jurich is our speaker this time, so it's really great. All right, that's enough for me. I'm going to sign off. This is Rick Redding for the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.